Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's what Paul says the devil blinds people from seeing. Today, more on why God's glory in redemption is indeed amazing grace. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:3 to learn more about the light God shines in the hearts of those who believe.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice this breathtaking passage. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is now the application of what Jesus did on the cross. The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." Follow carefully. The God who created. And here you have darkness over the face of the deep, it says in Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That God is the same God who redeems, who shines the light of the glory of Christ into people's souls. Because if he doesn't speak, there would be no resolution to the darkness of creation. If he doesn't speak, there's no resolution to the darkness within the human heart. The Bible here speaks of darkness within the heart that needs to be dissipated, and only God can do it. Think for a moment of what it's like to walk in darkness. First of all, it affects your values. When you pick up a stone, you don't know in darkness whether it's a stone or it might be a piece of gold or maybe it's some coal with diamonds. You can't tell the difference when you're walking in darkness. And some of you know what that's like. You keep stumbling over the same thing because it not only affects your values, it affects where you are going because you have no idea as to where you're going. Was it not Alice in Wonderland that told us that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there? And so your whole life is bound up with this problem of what the meaning of life is all about. Darkness also means a selective memory. How do I know that? Look at what the text says. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Wow. Jesus told a parable in which he said, a sower went forth to sow, and Jesus talked about the different kind of soils, and then he said that the wicked one comes and snatches the word from their minds. Can you imagine that? So that they can't even remember what they heard, they can't remember what the sermon was about. The other day, somebody told me about someone, not sure if it's here at Moody Church, but it could be, who the minute the sermon begins, he falls asleep. Now, I can understand that if I'm the one that is preaching. What I don't understand is he evidently even does this when Bill Burchy is preaching. And the situation in the human heart without the light of the gospel is worse than I've portrayed it. Because not only are they blind and dead and deaf, but they think that they're alive, that they can see, that they know where they are going, and they have the right tags on the different values, and they are deceived, and it's that deception that keeps them bound, and Satan is there to blind the minds of those who believe not. I still remember it, explaining the gospel to one of our neighbors. I've always thought that God always opens doors, and if you walk through those doors, you find an opportunity to explain the gospel. But I was explaining how that it can't be by works, because all human works are tainted. It has to be of God. So if he believed in Jesus Christ and acknowledged his sinfulness, God would give him salvation as a free gift. I prided myself on the clarity of what I thought anybody should be able to grasp. You're finished the talk, and what does he say? Yeah, I agree with you. I've always thought that if you do the best you can, you're okay. You know people like that. They just don't get it. Anybody know anybody who just doesn't get it? What does the text say? Satan blinds the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. But the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," he shines in human hearts through the preaching of the gospel. And I'm praying that God is doing that right now while I'm speaking, so that you who are in darkness might realize it and you might receive the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is what Paul is talking about. It is God's glory in Jesus. You see, people like that, they have a wrong opinion of Jesus. They don't think of Jesus like you and I do. They don't see him as glorious. They see him as a good teacher. They see him as a prophet. They see him maybe even as a savior, but they're not desperate for him. And it is the light of the gospel that makes them change their minds about Jesus. And they suddenly see him in his glory. They suddenly love him because the light of the gospel has come to them. God has spoken and says, "Let there be light." And the bulbs go on and they say, "Oh yeah, now I get it. And I believe in Jesus." Isn't this what Charles Wesley was referring to in that wonderful song that we love to sing? Can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Seems to me that the third stanza goes this way. Let's see if I'm able to quote it. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon filled with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." That is conversion. That is the gospel. Now we come to perhaps one of the most surprising and interesting aspects of what I've just been talking about. God is glorified in what he planned, by what he did, by what he does today when people believe, namely to cause the light of the gospel to come into their hearts. And now the surprise is God is glorified by whom he uses. Because it is his intention, as he said to the Apostle Paul, "I've converted you that you might open the minds and the eyes of the Gentiles." Can you and I open anybody's eyes? Of course not, but we are co-workers together with God. We are in God's vineyard. And now are you ready for this? Notice what the text says, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." And then Paul goes on to show his humanness. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair." What he's saying is that this treasure, which is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel that we can enter into God's glory because of what Jesus did, that is the treasure. And where does God put it? It makes us smile. Where does God put it? We would probably want to read this text. Now, this treasure is in the silver chalice. Or this treasure is in a pot of gold. So that there'd be some reason to think that the wonderful, beautiful treasure has some place to be that is worthy of it. And Paul says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." Common peanut butter jars. That's what God delights to do. God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use imperfect people, just common jars of clay. And by the way, you may be here today and you may be intelligent, you may be beautiful, you may be well-educated, and you may be wealthy, but, you know, the news is you're just a jar of clay. That's all that we can say about you today. But if you're a believer, you house the depository of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, because God shone the light into your soul and gave you the ability thereby to believe and to see the glory of Jesus. So you are very, very special. And in a future message, I may comment on what Jesus said, that someday when you die, that, O Lord, John 17, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world. We'll spend all of eternity enjoying, loving, and rejoicing in the glory of God. What are the implications? There are two. First of all, human weakness is not a barrier to the power of God. Human weakness is not a barrier to the power of God. Today I'm speaking to you, and if you were honest, you would tell me, I just see myself as maybe an average Christian, maybe a below average Christian. And I say, great. You look like a pot of clay to me. And we can all rejoice in the fact that God loves to use ordinary people.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I am speaking today to many ordinary people because I'm speaking to you. The bottom line is that all of us are ordinary. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be from God and not of us. It's been my experience that too many Christians look to themselves, and what they see is so disappointing that they don't think that they can witness to anyone about the glory of God and salvation. Fact is, God sees them very differently. He sees them carrying the glory of God. They are the bearers of God's glory. And it is our privilege and responsibility to share the good news of the gospel with others. I have found that this can be done very easily. Simply ask somebody a question like, where are you on your spiritual journey? What a great way to open up a conversation. Or give them a book to read and then tell them that you want them to respond to it. In 100 ways, we can show others the glory of God by our deeds and by our words. Let's do it today for His glory and honor.
Erwin Lutzer, continuing God's Glory in Our Witness, the third in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Next time on Running to Win, the inspiring conclusion. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.